And from it's Gilbert's and Cattle, Scott. We're down here. We saw that coyote. It went pretty quick, didn't it? It kind of slow though.
We did see a coyote. He was pretty domesticated the way it looked to me, Chuck. That golf course didn't scare him too much.
Well, I think they kind of like him down here. I think they see him. But Scott, you've been traveling around up in the north and being his feed consultant and stuff. You go up to Miller and some of those. How are things looking out there?
You know, things are looking pretty good around Miller. It was a dry winter, so the calves in the feedlot performed very well, probably a little bit better than they typically have. It was cold, but it was dry, so that was a real benefit to those guys. Last summer, they got a lot of feed put up. A lot of wheat hay got put up. Some CRP hay that got released got put up, so they had a lot of roughage that they could feed out there. And then they got some snow, and I'm guessing they wouldn't mind another little snowstorm, so they need moisture.
Well, it sounds like they're going to be getting some out West River, so I think that snow. When you start talking about wheat hay and stuff, a lot of them feed straw. What's the wheat hay like? Do they put that up pretty green, or are they out there, or did they put it up a little toward mature?
Well, you hope that they put it up. There's a fine line between being too mature and at the right point. If you try it too early, it's really tough to get the stuff to dry down. But on the other hand, if you wait too long, then you're going to lose some nutritional value. So most of them got it put up pretty darn good. It was kind of new for a lot of them because that wheat, they started putting it up with the drought, and they started putting up some of that wheat a little early, and there was a little learning curve for everyone. But nutritionally, it's really, really turned out to be a real asset out there. Good feed values.
You know, we've really learned to feed some really poor quality feed as time goes on. Every time here in the last few years, the steam things get a little tighter, and maybe we were a little short on some feed a couple years ago, but we become much smarter as we save a little money doing that.
Yeah, you know, it's one that's really interesting, especially from the cow-calf side of it. We've done a lot better than we've probably have done in the past. We are more precise on their diets. And, you know, with the introduction of distillers here 10 or 12, 15 years ago, that kind of put us in an advantage over some of our competitors. We can blend off some of those lesser quality feeds and use some of that along with some of our other, you know, fermented feed silages and that. Really, really make some nice diets for those cows.
But when we start talking about some of these feeds and mixing them, how often do they need to test that forage if they go from one area to another?
You know, that was one real challenge, especially with the wheat hay, I'll be specific, is, you know, nitrates in one field could be high, but then you go to the next field and they were low. So as often as, boy, that's a tough question, Chuck, because it varies so much. You know, you want to check it to make sure, but I'll be honest, I did not find much many nitrate issues at all in the wheat haze or the millet haze or any of that. So, and actually, the oats haze were probably the higher, the more concerning from the nitrate side of it. But it's something you need to check. You need to talk to the person you work with, your nutritionist, and work through some of those issues.
Well, we're in the middle of calving season, and I know some of those guys out west, go a little further west, they kind of do a little calving out in the pasture, but they all bring them up. How's the calving been going so far?
You know, it's been pretty good. It was a little cold here a couple weeks ago, but as a whole, again, those guys got some snow, and they weren't complaining, so it's been going pretty well. Those guys, a lot of those guys will bring them in, they'll calve them, and they'll take them out to what they call their calving pastures, and they'll kind of supplement them out there, but they're getting them pretty much out in the wide open, a little different than what we are on the eastern side of the state.
Well, those calves, once they get a few days on them, they can take a fair amount of cold weather as long as we can give them some their little shelter.
Yes, you know, wind is moisture is hard on them, obviously, so we can keep them dry and out of the wind. They're going to be stay in good shape.
As you as we're seeing, are the calves calving pretty good? Are they somewhat easy? Did they get enough exercise? These cows seem to be pushing those calves out.
Well, actually, this year, in talking with a couple of different producers and a semen rep, calves seem to be a little bit larger this year. Now, some of that has to do with the gestation period. You know, we AI to some of these easy calving bulls, and we assume they're going to they'll come maybe a week early. That has not been the case as much this year. And talking with producers, guys that have used the same bulls for the last two or three years, now this year having issues with those same bulls. So I don't know. You know, there's a lot of different thoughts and theories on that. Some people say that the cold weather, you know, and changes their blood flow, so in turn we're going to get bigger calves. But you know, the cows are healthy and in good shape, so that's really important, and and you can overcome a lot of those little issues.
I know quite a few of them were out in the pasture, out in the cornfields a little later this year because it was pretty open. Did we have much of a problem as far as the nutrition on some of those? Did the cattle keep their condition pretty well this year?
You know, they did, and the reason they did was, first of all, they figured out about supplementation. You need to get a protein source out there in front of them. And also, you know, the timing of when is it, when it's the end of grazing, and if and when to bring them in, you know. So we're getting better at that, it seems like, as we move on. So, but they did graze a long time. It saved a lot of money.
Well, and I think that's a nice thing about open winters. And I know, Scott, before we let you go, are you seeing quite a few guys going to that cover crops up? And I know we're starting to get for maybe a little extra grazing that fall.
You know, those cover crops are something that people really need to look at, because there are actually producers out there that have no cows that will plant cover crops and then rent that out. But they aren't doing it for cash flow. They're just doing it for soil health. And I'm by no means an agronomist, but I will tell you, nutritionally, those cover crops are excellent, excellent feed sources, and people can extend their grazing periods a long time. And again, that just makes financial good sense.
And they can even graze those late in the fall.
Yeah, yep. It's amazing. Those cows are pretty smart, though. They might go take off the tops, but then all of a sudden they're snorting in that ground, rooting up some radishes or whatever they're looking for there. And those cows are pretty wise.
Well, I know those deer come up in my yard and garden and pull out my beets, so it's kind of the same thing, those tubers. But some of them even go out in the spring, and there's still some feed value left there.
Absolutely, yeah. You know, and I think then that probably turns into where that soil enhances the soil part of it. So, yeah, those cover crops, I know there's a lot of people that are doing it, a lot of people talking about it, and there's a lot of different ways to do it. So,
well, I know if we go more small grain, which some may be putting in a little bit of wheat and some oats out there. I know oats has become more of a popular forage as well on some of these cattle.
Yeah, you know, that's always the big question is on that oat side of it. Do we cut it for dry hay, or do we silage it? And, you know, do we spray it off, or do we graze it, or try to get another cutting off that? So, but yeah, oats is becoming a little more popular for just several different reasons.
Well, you can get it, and I guess if you want to put it up, you got the straw you could use, plus also gives you good soil health as well as getting them cover crops, give them some grazing. Anyway, Scott, thanks a lot. I know it won't be long, and we'll be turning those cows out to graze, but we don't want to get them out there too soon.
No, actually, now is pretty critical, you know, calving through rebreeding, so just be sure you remember that their plan of nutrition goes up some, so make sure that you know, enhance their nutrition one way or another, whether it's a little extra protein in their diet, a little extra energy in their diet, and there's a lot of different ways to do it. But just understand that we got to get those girls bred back as soon as we can.
Well, Scott, thanks for joining me. And, of course, Scott Gilbertson, the feed consultant with CHS Feeds out of Watertown. And, Mark, I'll tell you, he's a lot better golfer than he thought he was, too.